Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As we're continuing our study on the promises of provision, we looked at one, the authority, then we looked at the anointing, then we looked at the adversity that we faced, and then we looked at activation, and tonight we're going to look at the answering. I'm so thankful that when we pray, God answers. Amen? Jeremiah 33, and the verse that we're going to focus on tonight is verse number 3, where the Word of God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Let's ask God's blessing to the teaching of His Word. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for Your Word. And we're grateful that You sent it here tonight to accomplish something in each heart and life of those that have gathered here in the sanctuary, or those that have gathered on Facebook, and of those that are gathered on the website, Father God. Lord, we be magnified and glorified through the teaching of Your Word. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto You. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Now, you know, He says in the text, He says, "When you call unto me," and I was reminded in James chapter 5, verse number 16, He says, the Word of God says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So let's understand that we're to continue to pray. But as we pray, He says that He will answer us. That says there's a response. And what I'm so grateful for is I get a response in times of trouble. Amen? How many know that you have safety and security in the Lord Jesus and through the power of His Word? And He tells us in Psalms 91, we're looking about He answers us in trouble. Verse number 15, the Word of God says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation." Amen. I'm so grateful that when we call upon Him, that He answers us. And the response is, even in the times of trouble. I'm also grateful that He answers us in trouble, but He also answers us when we're in trials. I love what James says, "The trial of our faith worketh patience, and patience brings us experience, and experience gives us hope, and hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." But in Isaiah chapter 58, in trials, the Word of God says, God's way of fasting, and with fasting there comes prayer. We're calling unto Him, and He's answering us in our trials. He says in verse number 9, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, humble ourselves before the Lord. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in." So He answers us in times of trouble. He answers us in times of trial. And He answers us when we're together. And I have in togetherness. You know, Jesus gave us instructions in John chapter 15. John 15. Verse number 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be called my disciples. So he's saying that he's answered us the response. He responds to us when we're in trouble. He responds to us when we're facing trials. He responds to us when we come together and pray as two touching anything they ask in the Father's name, he will do for them. Amen. And as we abide in him, he abides in us. We abide and we stand together with one another. As two agree, as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them from my Father which is in heaven. So when I'm looking at Jeremiah, Jeremiah's in a prison. Jeremiah's crying out to the Lord because he's unrighteously placed in prison. He's called unto the Lord and the Lord's answering him. Amen. He's responding to him in his time of trouble, in his time of trial, and he's letting him know that he's not alone. He's abiding in him. Then he says, when you call upon him and he will answer thee, and he will shew you great and mighty things. And here I have the revealing, the revealing. If you go back to our text to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 6, when Jeremiah is calling unto the Lord, the Lord's responding to him and telling him that he's going to bring the abundance of peace and truth. Not just peace and truth, but the abundance of it. In verse number 6, behold, I will bring in health and cure, and I will cure them. And I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Amen. So the peace of God that surmounts every bit of our understanding will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. So when we call upon him, he'll answer us and he'll shew us great and mighty things. He'll be revealing things to you and I. And this revelation, and we find the thoughts, to change our thought life in Philippians chapter 3. If faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen, with our mind we have to believe God's going to bring it forth. He says, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, he says this, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect and were perfect in Christ, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So it calls for us to have the trust. You know, he says to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Well, you say, Pastor, you use that a lot. Yes, I use it every day in my life. It becomes a part of my life. It becomes part of your life. Because every morning I make a decision to trust the Lord with all my heart. I make a decision to lean not to my own understanding. I make a decision in all my ways to acknowledge him. I make a decision to let him direct my path. Amen. And we're in it together. You know, we're in it to win it. We're in the winning team. I've read the end of the book and we win the battle. We win the war. We win the fight. That's why the apostle is saying, fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold of eternal life where thou art called and profess a good witness, a good testimony before many witnesses. So it calls for us to trust. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, you and I, should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. So we find that when we call upon him, he'll respond. And he'll show us great and mighty things. He'll reveal the revealing that we knoweth not. With that comes the revelation. You know, when you look at the word a revelation, it comes from the Greek word apokalypsis. And apokalypsis means an uncovering. Something that was covered up, as now the cover is taken off of it, so that we have understanding. When I was looking at that, the Lord reminded me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about the Apostle Paul, the thorn that was in the apostle's flesh. How many have a thorn stick in them? Come on. That something you've been trying to shake or something you've been trying to get rid of, but you just haven't been able to shake it off or get rid of it. And the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. The Lord is telling the apostle why that he isn't 100%. Amen? He said in verse number 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, the apocalypses, or the uncoverings, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, Jesus is now speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, I'm totally dependent on him. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, he tells us to glorify him in our weaknesses, though so his power may rest upon us. Amen. I've been praying for the Lord. Last Sunday, for example, Sunday morning, I came down and I cleared the sidewalks for the snow, and I cleared the front of the church. I shoveled the snow out, and I wanted to have church. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And I said, okay, well, the devil brought the snow. And God said, never give the devil glory for what I did. The devil didn't bring the snow. I brought the snow. I brought the snow to cover the earth. I brought the snow to kill germs. I brought the snow to kill diseases. I brought the snow so the farmers can rejoice and be glad because their crop is coming up in their fields. I brought the snow. Give glory for me and recognize that I'm going to be glorified and I'm going to be magnified, whether it snows or whether it rains. It doesn't matter. Just give me glory and give me praise. Amen. So in other words, he was taking something when I was looking at it in the wrong way, and he turned around and turned it into rejoicing and giving praise. How many knows that there's been sickness and disease that has attacked this nation? How many know that this snow is important to get it under control? Hallelujah. How many know that in the next week when it goes down to the teens and the single digits at night, that it's important to kill germs because they can't live when those those temperatures. And just know that all these things are working together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And you're called according to God's purpose, and all the things that you're facing are working for your benefit, no matter what they look like, no matter what they seem like. Trust the Lord, and he'll be glorified in and through it. In a turn, your problem will turn into your praise. Hallelujah. Can we go ahead and give him praise in the house? Hallelujah. Can we give him some glory in the house? Hallelujah. Can we go ahead and give him thanks? Amen. He says in everything, give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's give him praise and let's give him glory. Thank you for the snow. Thank you for the ice. Thank you for all you're doing, for the things we see, the things we don't see. We know that you're on the throne and you're accomplishing everything that needs to be accomplished for your return. Hallelujah. So this brings the treasure. The treasure. And Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, he's giving a revelation of Jesus Christ, apocalypse, amen, an uncovering. He says in verse number 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past and the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You know, let's not waste what God's doing. Amen? Amen? If we truly believe that God's things are working together for our good because we're called according to his purpose, knowing that all things are working together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose, we recognize that we triumph in and through every battle. The triumph in 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you with me, church? Yes. Amen. Verse number 9. This speaks of the incorruptible inheritance. Verse number 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So tonight, he says, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that they'll know if not. Those who expect to receive comforts from God must call upon him. Promises are given not to do away with, but to quicken and encourage prayer. These promises lead us to the gospel of Christ, and in that, God has revealed truth to direct us and to give peace to make us easy. All who by sanctifying grace are cleansed from the filth of sin by pardoning mercy are freed from the guilt. When sinners are thus justified, washed, and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, they are enabled to walk before God in peace and purity. Many are led to perceive the real difference between the people of God and the world around them and fear the divine wrath. It is promised that the people who were long in sorrow shall again be filled with joy. Where the Lord gives righteousness and peace, he will give all needful supplies for temporal wants, and all we have will be comforts as sanctified by the word and by prayer. Remember that prayer changes things. Amen. So we find he said, I will call upon me and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. It calls for the response in times of trouble and our trials. We're doing this together. The revealing of the truth, the inner thoughts, the trust by revelation, just as the apostle had the thorn in his flesh, we're the treasure of God's word, and we'll triumph in and through it by the power of God. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here tonight to accomplish what you sent it to do. We're thankful, Father God, that just as Jeremiah said, when we call upon you, Lord, that you not only hear us, but that you answer us. And you not only answer us, but you show us great and mighty things that we did not know. So, Father God, I pray that you give revelation and understanding in your word to each and every believer that's listening, that's watching, that's taking part of this Bible study, Father God, that you take us from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. I thank you, Father God, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness, Father God. We send your word out tonight. We speak to those that are sick in body, Father God. We speak the healing of Jesus' stripes upon them in the name of Jesus. Father, those that are troubled, Father God, may they have revelation and understand that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world, and that they overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. May the words that they speak be words of life and not death. So, Lord Jesus, we praise you and give you glory for all that you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do, and we'll never cease to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.